amazing, beautiful Studio Plaza of Kissimmee, which has a lot of locals in the Minyan Beit HaRishonim, has a lot of Halacha L'maisa. The Lomdus goes together in the Halacha L'maisa as well. And it's a very, very cheerful topic. Well, our agenda for today is going to be as follows. What we're going to do, Be'ezer Hashem, is three different things. Number one, what we're going to do is we're going to continue with yesterday's issue of three different sheets of Rishonim about what Pasach on the Kislev is and its implications lahalacha. Number two, what we're going to do is we're going to make Be'ezer Hashem Lamed Shalemi on the Gemara on the top of the Be'ezer Rabbah, the classic of Aini. And number three, in the Mishnah Brura, in the last 10 minutes, as I said, we're going to go to Kusamah Des, and we're going to apply.
Oh, I'm coming your way. No, I'm here.
Then I'm going to apply Be'ezer Hashem. The first part of what we're discussing in Shir, in the Neubei of the Rishonim, and in the Halakha, we'll apply it practically, Halakha Maisa. See how it fleshes itself out, Halakha Maisa. We're not going to do that necessarily in the beginning. We saw that there are three Shittas Rishonim of what qualifies as a Pasach of a Kislev. So let's summarize. Rabbi said, what are the three sheets of Rishonim? Yes, anytime, quickly.
The Rabbi Yona is food with nuts or sugar stuffed into it.
Right, like a tort. Did I say tart? Yes, not tort. Tort, whatever it is.
Pas mixed with spices.
And our pshat and Rashi was, keep this in mind, because this is going to be relevant, I think, halacha l'maisa as well, that according to Rashi, you only ate a small amount. That's what was going on according to our reading of Rashi. I'm not reviewing the lomdus of yesterday of Rashi. That's how we learned. Although, Michal had a fascinating Pnei Yoshua, which is actually going to rear its head today. It is a Pnei Yoshua. I know Aryan said that maybe it's a tzlach, but it's a Pnei Yoshua. You're going to see, you didn't even know how good you said yesterday. But we're going to get back to it. Be'ezer Hashem. Okay, that's the Shita of Rashi. And the third Shita are those some of the Gaonim. Who was it that the Beis Yosef quoted from? From Rav Hai, the crackers idea. Now, the Beis Yosef we concluded with yesterday said that we have a Sveika Dedina. And if it's a Sveika Dedina, so then we have to be Choshesh for all of those Shitas. Now, what does that mean? Practically, that we're choshesh for all of these shittas. What does that mean that we're choshesh for all the shittas? So, if we take a look, we'll see that in the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this. In Simin Kuf Samaches, Siv. Kuf Samaches, Siv. Siv Vav. So there was Siv Zayin. We have the Mechaber concluding like this. He quotes a different sheet. This is a Pasach of a Kislev. He quotes Yeh Shomrim. And then he says, V'alocha k'divrei kulam. And the halacha is like all of them. Shalakol elu advarim noslam dinon shemarnu Pasach of a Kislev. All of them have the halachos of Pasach Bo B'Kislev. So what does it mean that all of them have Pasach Bo B'Kislev? That means that if you eat it during the meal, as our Gemara said, then it might mandate a separate bracha. One of the implications of Pasach Bo B'Kislev, the one actually that emerged from the Gemara itself, is that it's not considered Dvarim Haboim Machmas HaSuuda. It's not a regular bread. It's not Dvarim Haboim Machmas HaSuuda. So it will require a separate bracha. But there's another implication of Pasach Bo B'Kislev. What was the other implication of Pasach Bo B'Kislev? In other words, let's crunch it. Make sure you have jot down in your notes. What is the nafka mina whether something is considered Pasach Bo B'Kislev? Now we've been discussing what is it, what's not. So there are at least two implications. There might be more. But the two basic ones, number one is if it's Betoch HaSeuda, whether it's going to need its own bracha. That was before Shnara Gemara. And the other implication from our Gemara is that it doesn't require a bracha, at least, Berchas HaMazon. What it does require afterwards, as you noticed in the Rishonim today, in Beis Amid Aleph. But the Gemara says that doesn't require a Birchas Hamazon afterwards, and that means that if you're eating Pasal Abikisnin, then even though it's past, but since it's Habobikisnin, in such a case, then it's not going to get a Birchas Hamazon. So, those are the two implications. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, in different styles, in different places, in as Hagos to Shulchan Aruch, the same basic question which he asks in different ways. Let's first see, I'm not going to spend too much time on Rabbi Kiva Eger, but it's kedai to see it in its original source. The Be'er Halacha summarizes it in one sentence. But it's kedai to see Rabbi Kiva Eger in its original. And the way the Be'er Halacha quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger is the simplest Rabbi Kiva Eger. By the way, Hagos Rabbi Kiva Eger is a collection of different comments of Rabbi Kiva Eger. I'm not convinced that Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote it at all one time, that he sat down and he wrote a Perush on the Shulchan Aruch. So they collected from different places where Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the side of his own Shulchan Aruch, in other places. So sometimes you'll have Hagos Rabbi Kiva Eger, there'll be two or three Hagos Rabbi Kiva Eger really driving at the same point. I think that's what happens over here. So, in Oz Dalit, in Hagos Rabbi Kiva Eger crunches the kasha, and this is the way the Be'er Halacha quotes it, but I'd like to quote the kasha in two different ways. It's essentially the same question. It says Rabbi Kiva Eger kashali. Amaylo kasov de lo yochlam el tocha sa'uda ki idl kamot sif yud gimel. Kiva Eger asks a bomb kasha on the Shulchan Aruch. We've got this big suffix. We've got a big suffix over here, what qualifies as pasa b'vikis. According to when Tosfos would hear Rav Haigon, especially the way we were masber in the omic of Tosfos, I agree, it's the omic of Tosfos, but I think it's the MS. So, what would Tosfos do, react, when he would hear Rav Haigon? Tosfos say, Rav Haigon, you're making a mazonos on real bread. That's his reaction to, you're making it on a cracker? That's lechem oni, like I dramatized yesterday. That my crackers, the organization's name, is called Matzah. That's the name of the organization. It says they dress it up in a different way, but the name of the organization is Matzah. You look at the crackers that I eat in the morning, it's hard to know what the difference between that and Matzah is. So what's Tosfos going to say? Tosfos is going to say, you're making the wrong bracha. Frech Rabbi Kiva Eger, why is it? We always take into account the shittas of the great shittas of the Bali Tosfos. So why is it that they didn't say Chaim? You know what you should do? You shouldn't eat crackers in the morning on the bus and make mazonos. Eat a pasal chasuda. Tosfos holds mamish bread. And just like we haven't seen if you gimel yirei shemayim yotzei all the shittas and you only eat it pasal chasuda, so do here frech Rabbi Kiva Eger. Now this is the sharpest of the questions, in the sense that you could crunch it in one sentence. Rabbi Kiva Eger also earlier asks the kasha in the following way. And that is, he claims, and some of the Talmidim asked on about this, but Rabbi Kiva Eger has a certain approach, and you look it up, asked Rabbi Kiva Eger, wait a second, this is just a case where you could say, ah, we're choshesh l'kula. It's a kula, it's a chumra, the asin l'day kula. What's the chumra, the asin l'day kula? According to Rabbi of the Bali Tosfos, what are they going to say to me after I eat breakfast in the morning? Say to me, bench. So what am I going to say? No, the Shulchan Aruch is choshesh for all the days. Wait a second, you just said pass. Savik d'oraisa l'chumra. So if the Bali Tosfos are screaming at me and they're saying, bench, how could it possibly be that the Shulchan Aruch just says, no, you don't have to bench? Halacha k'direi kula. It's a chumrah that's asin l'day kula. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger asks. Now, Rabosai, in shir, there's only a certain amount that I could do inside. But if you were really amelim b'tara, you would go through this Rabbi Kiva Eger from the beginning to the end. Go over the Rabbi Kiva Eger inside. Don't jump to Rabbi Kiva Eger's. But after you do the Gemara, Rashi, Taisis, and the basic Rishonim, you should read over the whole Rabbi Kiva Eger and explain the Rabbi Kiva Eger from the beginning to the end. Okay? Good. This comes along the Be'er Halacha, and I learned this from Ravami. The Be'er Halacha is Miyashev, this Kasha from with the Maimar Mordechai. And he suggests from the Maimar Mordechai that the following yisod. And that is that it's not the pshat that Rabbeinu Tam and the Baalei Tosfos disagreed with Rabbeinu Yonah and Rashi, but rather each one of them was giving different examples of their possible kisnin in their lives, if you will. I'm dramatizing a little, but in their lives. This, the Be'er Halacha quotes, it's a short Be'er Halacha, but it changes everything in Hilchos. Pasabo b'kisin. V'halacha b'divrei kulam. He quotes, V'marimah Mordechai mi'ashvo, v'kimin de lo nizkar behedyo, shecholkim ha'poskim b'zeh, since it's not explicit, efshar, v'efshar demodel ha'adodi. In other words, when the Beis Yosef is saying halacha k'divrei kulam, he's not saying that we're choshesh for each one b'torah safik. Because it would be simply chosh for each one b'torah safik, it's a chumra dasi l'dei kula. Could be mevater on benching. The answer is that we don't assume la halacha that they disagreed. Rabosai, do you agree with the Maimon Mordechai? You don't? Alright, so I want you to fight on that. I want you to fight about this. Whether Maimon Mordechai is Yisod, but we have no right to speak until we look up the Maimon Mordechai inside. Okay? But this is the Yisod, the Maimon Mordechai. The question is, what's Mukhruch in the Rishayim? So I will go back to the Sugya. If anybody has something really strong to say, I don't want to hear it now. I don't want to hear it now, because I want you to spend some time being Amel on it. I want you to look up the Maimon Mordechai and decide whether the Maimon Mordechai is Mukhruch in the Rishayim. Yes, of course. Says the Maimon Mordechai like this. It's not pshat that the Beis Yosef said that's halacha k'divrei kulam, that we're choshesh for each one of those shitas. But rather, the halacha k'divrei kulam means that each one of these Rishonim were suggesting a different type of pasabah b'kisnin. And since they were suggesting a different type of pasabah b'kisnin, they're not cholek on each other. There's no sfeika d'dina here. Halacha k'divrei kulam means we're assuming it's a chalois, if you will. There's a chalois over here that all three of these are pasabah b'kisnin. Now, Rabosai, if you don't assume like the Maimon Mordechai, you'll go crazy. Or maybe only half crazy. You'll go crazy. Because you got all these wild sveikas. The Maimon Mordechai made life easy for us. He said, end of the day, and if you think about it, it seems that way that we assume this way, l'halacha. On some level. Rav Ami had a Be'er Halacha later on that maybe he's not mashma that way. For here in the Be'er Halacha, we're going to see a Be'er Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah part of Shir. We'll see that the Be'er Halacha is going to develop this halacha l'maisa as well. At the end of the day, you have all three shitas. All three shitas are halacha l'maisa. And what's the pshat? You never see that Rabbeinu Yonah said, when he quoted Rabbeinu Chanan, he said they're wrong. He didn't say they're wrong. He had kashus, and he suggested a different approach. So then if the Baalei Tosfos agreed with the other Rishonim, so then in such a case, they're not going to say, there's no problem in saying that on the cracker that you have, and you make the mezonos, who says the Baalei Tosfos would say you're wrong? Who would say it's called lechem oni? Why in Pesach is a lechem oni and during the year it's not? Okay, that's a separate problem. Right, Sfaradim themselves, ad kedei kach, from what I understand, they even make mezonos on matzah during the year. So maybe there is room to have such a dichotomy. Maybe the light of Pesach transforms the status. Bottom line is, says the Be'er Halacha, beautiful pshat. And this is the definitely one legitimate way of looking at it. And we conclude, it's a chakira. There are two ways to understand these three days in the Rishonim. Are these three days being cholkim? If they're being cholek on each other, so then in such a case we have two Rabbi Akiva Eger's two kashas. Why didn't we say for a bracha Rishoni, Yirei Shamayim should only eat it betel chasuda? Why did the Shulchan Aruch give that suggestion? Number one. And number two is, why don't you choshesh for Safik brachos, Safik berchas hamazon l'chumra, to have to bench according to them? Those are Rabbi Akiva Eger's two kashas. And the Maimon Mordechai's fascinating approach. And I want you to decide whether now, after you look up the Maimon Mordechai, before you look up the Maimon Mordechai, you're not entitled to an opinion. But after you look up the Maamar Mordechai and you learn the sugya well, then you're entitled to an opinion on this topic. Rav Schechter always says that just because, you know, person gets a seichel to become a rabbi, it doesn't mean that he has the right to paskin a shayla. That requires a real darga. But at least you have a right to an opinion on this sugya that it seems to you, even not the Torah's psak, what seems to you in terms of amitas ha-sugya, what makes more sense. Rabosai, we're going to give a very important hashlocha, halacha l'maisa, when we do the Mishnah Brura Be'ezer Hashem, but now, hashlocha means an application. Now let's take apart the next topic on Pasah Bavikisnin, which appears on the top of Membeza Med Aleph, and we're going to see, we always have to gravitate from different poles of learning. First, this was discussing the way the poskim understand. After we make a laning in the Minei Ubei, the Gemara Rashi Tosis, now we have to start again, make a laning in the Minei Ubei in the Gemara Rashi and Rishonim, and just to really, really understand the Shitas Amorayim. And then after we understand all the ways of understanding the Shitas Amorayim, then Beis Hashem again, we'll start the whole process again to see the poskim, and then to see the halacha. There were a couple of hands. Yes, David. The Maamar, actually, Rav Ami at the time had a copy, but it's in the library. You go to the halacha section, there's a sefer called Maamar Mordechai. As you know, the Mishnah Brura quotes him pretty often. Yes, Yisrael.
We say that these three are examples. Then why, if you have all three, do you say mezuzos on the afterwards?
You mean if you don't say like the Maamar Mordechai?
If you say like the Maamar Mordechai, there are only three examples, meaning there could be more examples.
And there could be
there,
more.
Then why do we hold that if you have all three
of them together,
high, that you say mezuzos?
That's a nice kasha. I like your kasha. I don't know. Got to work on it. Well, we'll discuss that afterwards. Rav Ami's not sure he likes it. Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
What's the difference between a cracker and matzah?
What's the difference between a cracker and a matzah? That's a great question. That's part of what I was driving at in dramatizing. Yes.
According to my Mordechai, those are all examples. What's the one qualifying rule that fits?
There's three, at least three qualifying rules.
That's, it yields that they're all examples of a different facet. Oh.
Exactly. Different examples of Pasah Bavikisnin. Different examples of Pasah Bavikisnin. Yes.
I'm confused why there's a question with Yisrael.
Don't worry about Yisrael's question. Don't worry about Yisrael's question. I'm not saying shear on Yisrael. I'm saying shear on the... Yitz Hashem, maybe one day. One day, on all the Talmidim. We've done this in the past. We've discussed Tevrusim and the Talmidim have said years and years later. You remember there was someone who was talking with Aaron, you were talking with me, and there was someone who was sitting behind me afterwards who was waiting to eat lunch for me. It was somebody about 150. So his name is Galernter, Eli Galernter. He says Chabura to a couple of the older guys, to Yair Hillman and Ilan Kasper in YU. So we're about to learn Makos after Pesach. So he's a miyuchad. And I was saying Shir in Makos, in the one of the summer called NYU. And he had a mahalach, wow, it was absolutely glorious. So last time he did Makos, which was only a couple of years ago, the whole Shir was built on his approach. He was at the time he was a Talmud. And so, but I remembered it, I wrote it up, so that sometimes things stick. All right, it seems like some people don't agree with you, Yisrael. All right, let's continue. Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna achol tlisa rifta b'ni tlasa tlasa b'kav. So Talmidim as well as I got stuck even in the translation over here. It's okay to get stuck. So here, according to Rashi's gears, although Rashi doesn't have a number, oh he does. Rashi says that we're talking about 13. There were 13 rolls, that each one of them was a third of a calf. Now the Rabbeinu Yonah even spells out a little bit more. Just the cheshbon, just technical, just to figure out what's that. Right. So, okay. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, let's take a look, Rabosai. Let's take a look. Where's Rabbeinu Yonah? Trace Arifti. By the way, did anybody notice that Rabbeinu Yonah talks about, and this answers our question, Josh, that Rabbeinu Yonah says, Trace Arifti b'dein tlasa tlasa l'kavla. So, and he says, it's Sach HaKol came out four kavim. So how does that work? If you do the math, if it's one-third of the kav, and it's 12, and there you go, the math works. Adi will help you with the math. Not me. I rebelled in math. So, but according to Rashi, Rashi never said that it spells out with the 13. I'm even Yavin, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that he says 12 and it's actually precise. According to Rashi, it doesn't come out to an even, necessarily as an even number. So the bottom line is, whether he ate four kavim or four and a third kavim, at the end of the day, it was a lot of pasav of a kisim. V'lo baruch. And he didn't make a bracha. Okay, now is this going to stretch all the way? I think it will, right? Okay. Now, Rabosai, what we're going to do over here is we're going to outline a bunch of shitas. You know what? Maybe if you could just take the chair out, that would be fantastic. We're going to outline four different shitas of what exactly is the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. So we have Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rabosai, how does Rav Nachman respond to Rav Huna? Could someone read the Gemara? How does Rav Nachman respond? Okay, go ahead. Read eight times. Read loud.
Amar Rav Nachman, Adai Kavna, Ela Kol She'acherim Kovim Ala Zuda, Tzeret Lavaret.
So what's Rav Nachman's response?
That if you ate it Bisoveya, then it seems that you should make a bracha on it.
Right, so what's the expression? Elu Adai, says Rashi. Adai Elu Klomar Elu L'Ravon. They were eaten because the person was hungry. And such a large achila doesn't become part of a bracha. He argues that in such a case, you're going to need a birchas hamazon. Now, eventually, we're going to get into the pshat that Rashi doesn't like, Rabbi Hussein Pirshu, but let's focus right now according to Shitas Rashi. So our first, over here, up here, whenever, by the way, you have many shitas of Rishonim, what you should be doing is exactly how you should even outline the Machlokas Amoraim. I know I'm going through the basics, but if you don't go through the basics this way, and you jump to the Lamdos, then in the end you don't have anything. So Rashi says like this, Rashi says that over here, since Rav Nachman's response is that they ate a lot because they were hungry, so they're not going to be potter from the bracha. And the litmus test of it is kol she'acherim kovin achilaso b'kach ton birchas hamazon. So first of all, technically, what are they arguing about? According to Rashi, at least within Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman is saying that you're going to need birchas hamazon. That you're going to have to make birchas hamazon when it comes to these things, since others are going to be koveya seuda. Now, Rabosai, according to Rav Huna, who disagrees with Rav Nachman, what's the bracha achrona going to be? What's our bracha achrona going to be? According to Rashi. Now, you guys already know Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah already gives us a couple of possibilities of what Rav Huna is going to say. Let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. But you should have noticed that Rashi doesn't tip his hand. And we're going to see, actually I probably didn't leave enough room, within Rashi, we're going to see that there are a couple of different explanations of how to understand how Rashi learned the fundamental machlokes. The longer starts with understanding what the Amoraim are saying. So let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah, and see how he learns up the sugya. He gives us two possibilities. V'afilu lohachi barach lebesof. What was Rav Huna thinking? V'yesh mefarshim shalo birich lebesof klal. Mipnei shelo haya achila kavua. One opinion is absolutely nothing. Rabbi Yonah gives us two possibilities. Either there was no bracha whatsoever. V'chein nira mitoch mashikasa arif, which is very, very, very difficult to understand. I'm not going to say shira on the shita. Maybe you will with your students. I can't. This is a hard shita to understand. Okay. V'yesh mefarshim shelo birich ela bar nefashos bilvat. And the other explanation is that the only bracha he made afterwards was bar nefashos. And so then presumably, what's Rav Nachman saying back? What's presumably Rav Nachman saying back according to Rabbeinu Yonah? Presumably he's saying back. Is he saying back to Birchas Hamazon? Amalei Rav Nachman, oh, we have it. Adayin Bar Kofnin, Shainzeh Kvius, Choshim Kvius, Sheivarech Lov Besovru, Elo Merach Kol Shachem Kov Subaseh Ashir, Af Alpi Sheinu Koveu, Tzarech Lovarech Alov. V'macherim einam kov maf bishu kovei einam var dacharov v'im kovei abimash ein achem kom batlo daito itzel kolodo. I don't know, Eitan and I have machlokas. Eitan says, I don't know who's right. Eitan says that it was Birchas Hamazon. And I say that it's possible that it's Mein Shalosh. So I'm clear. You have a raya? No, I'm talking Rabbeinu Yonah now. I'm not talking Rabbeinu Yonah. We're in Rabbeinu Yonah now. Okay? Now, Rabosa. This is how Rabbeinu Yonah learned. Rabbeinu Yonah learned that Ravuna held, let's go with the second shot, that's a burn of Bashos. And Rav Nachman disagreed and said either, according to Eitan Birchas Hamazon, I'm going to keep on going according to my approach, that's Mein Shalosh. Rabbi Osai, what would the longos be according to Rabbeinu Yonah? What's the yesod in the machlokas between Ravuna and Rav Nachman? What are they arguing about? What's their svaras? What would their svaras be? If you didn't cheshbon this out, then you didn't make a lot of shalating on the sugya before you run to the other Rishonim. What are Ravuna and Rav Nachman arguing about? Yes, Yisrael?
Whether it's Platzler's or not?
Whether batla daito, okay, that's the first step. That Rabbeinu Yonah already used those words batla daito. You're not explaining yet what the machlokas is. Let me spell out what I mean, Yisrael. This is very, very important. To understand the machlokas, it's not enough to say yes or no. He says yes batla daito. He says no batla daito. That's not a havana. You're just restating the words. What is behind their machlokas?
So one says that it's a matter on what you, if you yourself are koveya or not. And one would say it doesn't matter on what you are, it matters what the general, an average person that whatever would be koveya on in this case.
Okay, and finish off, that's you starting. And therefore?
So, and therefore,
if you hold that other people is important,
then Rav Nachman would say, well, he holds that, so Rav Nachman would hold benching because it doesn't matter that even though you're not Kobaya Suda right now. For Puna, who holds that it matters on you yourself, he would say,
well, can anybody add a little bit to what Yisrael is saying? It's just a matter of getting used to the omic. Of being formulating the Omek Advar in Yisrael. Yes, Adi, a little bit more. You're 100% right, Yisrael, but you're going to see that there's a deeper issue that you're not touching on. Yeah?
I think it's Yonah and it's Chayev of the Bracha Achrona,
the first verse. What? Yisrael's off. Let's follow Yisrael's track. Whether Batla Daito changes the halach or not. What's behind whether Batla Daito changes the halach?
Whether it goes based on your personal survey or someone else's.
Yeah, you're just restating. What I'm driving at is the following. Is the status of the Ochel, is Pas Haba B'Kisnin transformed by the fact that people are Koveya Se'uda? According to Rav Huna, Koveya doesn't transform. Doesn't transform. However, according to Rav Nachman, the Koveya transforms.
If you're dealing with a case of no
Do you see, Yisrael, what we added over here? What we added was the following. What we added is, we didn't just say whether batel daito makes a difference. We're understanding the mechanics of the halachos of the ochel. The ochel is going to be transformed by kaviya suda. And acherim being kaviya suda. Once acherim are kaviya suda, that's enough to make it that it's no longer pasa babikisn. The koveya transforms it into l'chol apachos, a regular mizonos. Whether it transforms it into a real pas, that's a machlokas me and Eitan. Do you still hold your way, or are you just talking Rashi? You're still masufa. Okay, so we'll attribute it to you as a tzav. Now Rabosai, how's Rashi learning? Rashi's empty over here. We weren't masbir according to Rashi. How did Rashi understand the machlokas between Ravuna and Rav Chisda? So it's clear that Rashi learned that Rav Nachman holds his Birchas HaMazon. What's the Svara according to Rashi? We didn't develop the Svara. You know, maybe we should use a different... Do we have a different color pen? Do we have a different color? No, we only have black. So when I'm putting the Svara in, I'm going to box it, okay? It's important to differentiate the description and the Svara. What's the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Ravuna over here, according to Rashi? At least we know within Rav Nachman holds that once, back into the words of Rashi, once a person is koveya, kol shach, or others are koveya, ton birchas hamazon, that means that it transforms it, not only does it transform it into a different status, it transforms into lechem. That's what Rav Nachman is saying. It's transformed into mamish lechem. The same basa babikisnin that's not going to get, according to Rashi, the same basa babikisnin that's not even going to get an alamichya, according to Rashi earlier, is now transformed by koveya. That's a magic, that highlights the magic and the tension in basa babikisnin. Dramatic tension. On the one hand, you have something that will only get a bar nefashos at times, according to Rav Nachman. But if you're koveya, then it loses the last two words. It's no longer haba b'kisim. It's pas, and it's beautiful. It fits into the words of Rashi beautifully. Because what does Rashi say? It's pas. It's bread haba b'kisim. The motivator of eating it is the kisim. But you hear the omek advarim? But the moment that you're being acherim are koveya, so then that shows it's not haba b'kisnin. You follow the omek advarim. It's not haba b'kisnin. So then what is it? It's just pass. This is all we're doing is we're saying pshat and rashi. Lomnus is understanding the basics of the mineu bey in the Gemara Rashi. It loses the ababikism. You have to understand what Rashi said earlier to be able to understand this part. Okay. The only thing is, Rashi is unclear. That's the shita of Rav Nachman. But Rashi is unclear of what is the shita of Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna hold? Now, there are two things that are unclear. First of all, what's unclear is, we don't have Rav Huna's svara. We don't know what Rav Huna's logic is, that's unclear. The box is unclear. But not only is the box unclear, it's unclear what he means below Birech Acharav. So Rabosai, here there are going to be two possibilities. And what we're going to do is develop Rashi according to the cave, and develop Rashi according to Michal. No longer sits in the cave. That's outside. Michal yesterday mentioned the Pnei Yoshua. And the Chura, how you read Rashi yesterday will affect how you read Rashi today. Okay? Anybody want to finish off? What does Rashi mean when he says, V'lo birich acharav? That's unclear. Does it mean he didn't make a bar nefashos, like this wild sheet in Rabbeinu Yonah that we sort of have forgotten about? That you'll say shiran to be masbir? Or the other possibility of lo birich acharav means he didn't make a main shalosh? But the third possibility is that he didn't bench. So take a look at the Pnei Yoshua. It's going to be the Pnei Yoshua Lishitasa, the way Michal challenged me yesterday on the way we read Rashi. He's right. The Pnei Yoshua did say what he said. It's not the way I read Rashi. And there are two ways, and that's going to make it that there are two ways. Now by that, that's by the way the meaning of Chazal, Mitalmida Yosar Mikula. That if Michal hadn't said this pshat, I would have never noticed that there's a possibility. And if I would read a lot of Achronim, then maybe I would have noticed the Pnei Yoshua. But in Brisk, in this part, in this way I'm a Brisker, I'm lazy. I don't read all the Achronim in that way. I tried to... Okay, and there's no explanation. I should, I say Shir in the Sugya, I should read everything that there is on the Sugya. Okay. Problem is I don't know Shas yet. Let's take a look at, you have a Pnei Yoshua, Dibra Maskel B'Gemara. So the Pnei Yoshua, like the Michal, was Ma'orer. And by the way, Oren came over to me in Seder and said this Pshat in Rashi. He said, according to Michal, this Pshat in the Pnei Yoshua. And then I looked up the Pnei Yoshua, and sure enough, exactly what Oren had suggested, based on Michal's logic, it's exactly how the Pnei Yoshua learns up Rashi. What is that? It says the Pnei Yoshua Dibra Maskul the Gemara Rabuna Achol Tlasa Rifta. According to my understanding, Lefi Rashi, that the reason why you make no ala michya on Pasah B'Kislev is because there's tavlin inside. If the reason is because there's no tavlin inside, so over here, we're talking about, as Avi pointed out in Seder, we're talking about Pasah B'Kislev, which means it's the same type of Pasah B'Kislev before. Rashi says this explicitly. Rav Huna achol klasa rifti mi Pasah B'Kislev. That means it's the same Pasah B'Kislev of Memalef on the base. Michal, stand up. And if it's the same Pasah B'Kislev of Memalef on the base, so that means that what? That means that what? It means that what you're going to get is the same Brach Achrona that you had before, according to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna doesn't care about Tvi Asuda. Now, what's the reason that you make the Bar Nefashos before? What's the reason you make the Bar Nefashos before? The reason why you make the Bar Nefashos before, says the Pnei Yoshua, is as Michal had said, because the dough becomes the tafel. Once the dough becomes the tafel and the tavlin is the ikar, so of course, anytime you have tavlin as the ikar, it's going to get a bar nefashos. Oh, says the Pnei Yoshua, that's Rav Huna's svara. Rav Huna, according to Rashi, the halach is that you're going to make v'lopiri chacharov means what? It means, according to Rashi, that you're going to make the bar nefashos afterwards. This is the Pnei Yoshua's pshat das Rashi. You're going to make a bar nefashos afterwards. Why? Because the Pnei Yoshua Lishitaso B'das Rashi says that al pas habo b'kisnin, it's not even pas. It's not even dough. Let's see how the Pnei Yoshua read Rashi on Mem Aleph on the base and then put it into Rashi on Mem Beis on the Aleph. He read Rashi like this as Michal was more beautifully. Now, according to the Pnei Yoshua, the question is why he said Machal Muat. That's why I like the cave's shot better. But it's good. He said good, nevertheless. Lo edinu bracha mein shalosh. You don't need a bracha mein shalosh. So, according to says the Pnei Yoshua, that's what it means, lo bira chakra. It means lo bira chakra means a burn of fashos. So, if you learn like the Pnei Yoshua, then there's room to read Rashi like that. That's how Oren wanted to suggest in Seder. However, based on the way you and we read in the cave, how we read Rashi, what would you say is the pshat? What does it mean, v'lo birech acharav, according to Rashi? How would you say? No, Gilad. You want to fight it? You ready to fight till the death? Okay. That was good intimidation. So, Rav, what else, Rav Osai? al-mikhya. Why? Because how did we learn, according to Rashi? It is no shear. He didn't eat a shear, according to Rashi. What do I mean? Let me make sure everything's in the words. Rashi and Memala from the base said, he only ate a little. It's not like what the Pnei Yoshua Michal said, that the majority is the tavlin. That's a big chiddush to say the majority is the tavlin. But rather, vineyards and the Zionists. What's the issue? It's pas, above the kissing, they nibble. It's the fortune cookie. It's not there to eat the shear, it's there, it's a hechi timtza to get out the fortune. So same thing, it's a hechi timtza to eat the kisnin. It's a hechi timtza to eat the kisnin. The fact that the fortune cookie is very sweet, it's not going to be a reason to transform the halacha as a cheftza. It's the context. It's because it's machol amot. What's going to be if you eat a crazy amount? Oh, what if you eat a lot of fortune cookies? That's the case. Exactly that happened to Ravuna. Ravuna ate a lot of fortune cookies. Say here, Rav Chisda said, no. Since it's a derech for some people, our kovei suda on it, it's going to transform. By the way, the only reason that Rav Nachman said that you make the Birkas Mazon because he claims that some people mamish eat fortune cookies for a meal. And Rav Huna says, I disagree. Just because people eat fortune cookies for a meal, that's not enough to transform it into pas. It's still pas habal b'kisnin, but of course it's going to get an alam mithya. Whose pshat is this? McKay. This lechura is the two different ways of reading Rashi. I was mamish misameyach to see it because I mamish saw that what Michal and I were fighting about yesterday becomes a nafgimina of how you read this Rashi, and there are two legitimate ways. I happen to think we're right. On the other hand, it's the great Pnei Yoshua. So look up the Pnei Yoshua, and we have two different ways of reading the Rav Huna according to Rashi. And then so far we have Rabbeinu Yonah, we have Rashi. The truth was, in Rabbeinu Yonah we had two pshat in themselves, but we weren't masbir ad hasof why it would be that there's no bar nefashos. Yes, Fred?
Just for clarification, Rabbeinu Yonah, what's being transformed to what?
Absolutely. Rabbeinu Yonah, he's asking, what do I mean over here? By the way, the svaris I didn't even write out. These svaris I was masbir in 10 minutes, so I don't need to write that out. The svar over here is like this. That if we're transforming, so then what's happening is Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that the moment, Rav Nachman says, the moment that people are generally kovei suda on it, that turns this into pas. What's that? That turns it into. You're right, Nachman. Need to be more precise. It turns it into a regular mezonos. Beforehand, it was less than that. You didn't make a bracha of alamichya on it. You only made a bar nefashos. That was the Gemara earlier. Gemara earlier said you only make the bar nefashos. So, if you will, to put it into very specific terms, you turn into cake. It becomes turned into cake. Once people are kovei on it, it's not less than cake. And therefore you make a bracha mein shalosh, it's transformed. While Rav Huna says no, kovei doesn't transform. That's the yisod of that machlokes.
Rabbeinu Yonah just got talking about kissing, it's sort of like a wafery thing, so that thing would be regular mezonos.
Oh, so he's asking the following kasha. He's asking, what exactly did he eat according to Rabbeinu Yonah? Maybe it was wafers.
Not be a regular
zone. By the way, just to dramatize a little, someone just told me that Rav Aron told me that Rav Katz said that wafers, what are called vafla here in Israel, are possible because, and therefore the meal, you're going to have to make the bracha.
So it's a bracha, so it's only...
It's a big discussion how... Okay, so that, and that gets back to what Yisrael was asking before. Okay, now Rabbos, we're just scraping the surface here.
This is why I don't cover ground. They don't let me.
Or you said enough already. Yeah, go ahead, Adi. Go ahead.
How does the Pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah factor into...
He said before Shir. Yeah, he said this whole point to the Pnei Yoshua. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, they are a factor into it. They have says there's no real platform at all.
So, no, does the Pnei Yoshua has nothing to do with it. He's being mad
at the Rashi. How does the Birchas Hamon God of Kobeya, not Kobeya, transform and not transform?
Nothing to do with it. Pnei Yoshua doesn't relate to it. Why doesn't the Pnei Yoshua relate to it? I don't know. He's a totally different angle. You're right. You're right, Adi, that sometimes if you're trying to understand why the Achronim said like this and an Achron said like that, but that's already called Achronish. Because it's all speculation, I want to be rooted in the words of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And the way to do that is to stay rooted in the Rishonim. Anything more than that, to speculate why the Pnei Yoshua said like this, first of all, it's not going to have any hashlachos. It's not going to have any implications. It becomes Oreach Ba'avir. You're dancing in the sky. You have nothing that's going to be rooted. It's just going to be Svaros Ba'alma. So that's why I don't say Hezberim on it. It happens to be yeshivish to do such a thing, but at the end of the day, there's no accountability. In other words, whatever I say here, you could shrug it up. If I'm going to speculate a Svara Ba'alma, why did Pnei Yoshua said like this? And why Rabbeinu Yonah says like this? So then it's all speculation. It's all Svaras Ba'alma. I don't like to say Svaras Ba'alma. The only time I say Svara is when I'm trying to explain the words of a Rishon. Unless I have to be Miyashev, a Stira, and a Mishnah Brura, or something like that. But in general, we don't say Svara outside being Masbir and the Rishon. Yes, Michal.
Like sort of a clarification in the fact.
Rabosai, we're going to go to Maramakum after the questions. Start cracking it open already. We're going to go to Maramakum that I didn't put on the Maramakomos, which is very important. That's the Rajba. Yes, Michal.
Are we speaking of the Suda or after the Suda? So it's not the Suda. It's outside the Suda. But it's outside the Suda, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, I just understand why.
That was Eitan's question. I said I'm not saying shir. I'm not saying shir on that difficult position. I don't have a pshat. I don't have a pshat on that. In other words, that's exactly what I said, Michal. They do have to do with your talmid.
Is that
why
you think it's
inside? Maybe. In a panami. It's a fair point. I accept that point. That's legitimate halal. Rabosai, I'm sorry, Oren. Eitan, and let's go.
Why don't we go with the shot of what Rashi brings down as Rabbi Tainu, that he didn't say...
I'm going to get to Rabbi Tainu eventually.
Okay.
Don't worry. Eventually I'm going to get there. Okay. Rabosai, we now have the Rajba. We didn't get any more people on this. Might be there's a cheer sitting. We might share the... Okay, good. Rabosai, let's go to the Rajba. I only realized this morning in Seder how critical this Rajba is, and I didn't give it to you in Seder. But let's take a look. It's good for you to have your Rebbe sprinkling you something you didn't see before. By the way, kudos to AB. The AB came running in at 11:35, 11:40, 11:45, came running into the Nazrum. He said, the Rajba says! And my Rajba was open. I said, I'm going to discuss the Rajba. It was very, very good. He looked up the Rajba on his own. Just because I didn't put on the Maram Komos doesn't mean that you shouldn't look up the Rajba on your own. Beautiful. Says the Rajba, Pirush. In Dibra Masu Rav Huna. Pirush. Asa ba bekisen haya. Vishalob is su'uda ochal. Below Pirush Akra. The Rajba is explicit. Klomar shalosh brachos. Elame ein shalosh. So Rajba tells us exactly, that's why this Rajba is elegant on two different levels. Number one is the Rajba is elegant that he's clear. There's no sfeikos of what Rav Huna held. And that is, basically, the Rajba says what we wanted to say to Das Rajba. That is, the Rav Huna holds that you make an al-mithya. And he continues on, yes? I'd rather leave Rashi. I'll take after. I'm in the middle of the Rajba now. Be my pleasure, Benny, to take.
I'll say it,
but I'm in the middle of the Rajba now. So, lean Heather, I'll take you before the halacha. What time is it? Okay. I left my phone in the box. And my watch slowed down. So, Vamalei Rav Nachman. The watch is an amshnover. Vamele Rav Nachman Ede Kafman. Klomar. Achila zu achilas ravi vikavahi. The tzarek lefarik lefanim hamotzi u'mishalosh brachos. The law amu apas abav kisin sheina tun lefaneha el min remzelsu b'sof mein shalosh. Elo b'sheolcham imenu ma'at. Kederach halosim imenu ma'at l'tanu v'idun u'lemesika. So what's a halacha? Rav Nachman comes back. Rav Nachman fires back. It says, Rav Nachman, no, Birchas Hamazon. So first of all, you have a fundamental machlokes between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, again. It was a slow process. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, what you have is, you have the Bracha Me'ein Gimel, right? While according to the Rajba, the Bracha Achrona is Birchas Hamazon. What's the Svara of Rav Nachman according to the Rajba? What's the Svara? Rabosai, could anybody tell me? I know you didn't make a leaning on it in Seder, but could anybody on the spot tell us what Rav Nachman is thinking about why if you're Koveya Su'uda on these Passover of Kisne gets Birchas Hamazon? What's Rav Nachman's Svara? Yes, Mordechai?
Because
part of
his mouth, but now that he had a
lot, right. Says the Rajba. Now this is going to have implications about Pas Habo B'Kisnin in general. Says the Rajba like this. Pas Habo B'Kisnin, according to Rav Nachman, really is bread. The only thing is, you eat a little bit of it. If you eat a little bit of it, it doesn't get a Birchas Hamazon. Just a second. It doesn't get a Birchas Hamazon. Back in the words of the Rashba. Velo amru b'pasav alakizin she'ena tum lefanel minya mizonos b'sof me'ein shalosh. When does Pasav alakizin get a Birchas Hamazon? Elo b'sholchum imenu ma'at k'derech halosim imenu at l'tagun. That's only if you're eating it as a dessert, l'masika. So what's the svara? Im lav l'masika. If it's not there to make things sweet, if it's not there to sweeten, then pas rogilhu. It's regular pas.
But if we have 13 then.
So Rav Nachman now. So Rav Nachman says that if it's not l'masika, it's regular pas. Oh, what does Rav Huna respond to Rav Nachman? According to the Rajba, what's he going to say back? So you don't have to speculate. The Rajba continues, and the Rajba tells us what the yisod of the machlokas is. The Rajba continues. Avol iyasher lomar de Rav Huna lo birech lachar of klal. He says Rav Huna does not hold that you don't get any birchas ala michya. The lo gora meochel teinim vanovim shemevarech me'ein shalosh. Elavadai kal moran v'chein pirshu v'tosis. Can anybody find for me where this chein pirshu v'tosis is? Get back to me during Seder. So Rav Huna comes. Rav Huna is of the opinion that it gets a bracha of alamichya, and says the Rajba, all of the other Rishonim, the Hainu Rabbeinu Yonah, the Hainu the Yesh Mefarshin Rabbeinu Yonah, the Hainu the Pnei Yoshua Bedas Rashi, don't make any sense. Because at the end of the day, he's not eating this l'masika. If he's not eating this l'masika, so it's a double portion, it's regular cake. So I don't understand, the Rajba's responding to the other Rishonim. I don't understand how it could possibly be that the halacha would dictate anything less than an alamicha, even according to Rav Huna. What did Rav Nachman say, says the Rajba? Rav Nachman says that it's not l'masika, it's pas ragil. What's the nekudas hamachlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda according to Rashba? Let's continue on in the head of the Gevurter. The chazer Rav Huna va'al ma'ar kol she'acherim kovin alav suda sarech levareh. Klomar lefonav hamotzi le'acharov shalosh. What's Rav Huna's svara? Rav Huna's svara is like this. If people would be koveya su'uda, then I agree. Then it's going to get a hamotzi, even according to Rav Huna. However, here, Rav Huna says, I wasn't koveya su'uda. I was having a big snack. I was hungry. It was midnight. There was a hard Rav Nachman. There was a hard Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. I was breaking my head on it. And what happens when things are you get stuck in the sugya? So you need to walk around a little, and you buy yourself some nash, and you sit down, and you look at it again. You begin to munch, and you look at it again. That's what happens, says Rav Huna. I got stuck on a Mishnah, or it was the Super Bowl night, whatever it is. So then, in such a case, I started munching. But that one, I wasn't Koveya Suda. I wasn't Koveya Suda. So since I wasn't Koveya Suda, so then in such a case, then I'm not going to get a Birchas Hamazon. So what's Rav Nachman going to say back? To Rav Huna, what's Rav Nachman going to say back to Rav Huna? Rav Nachman's going to say, I don't care. The moment you're no longer eating it limasika, the moment you're no longer eating it for dessert, that's the moment. If it's not a kinuach, maybe you have in something very similar to what we saw in Tosfos, maybe that's kach pirshu Tosfos, I don't know. That the moment it's not a kinuach, so then, in such a case, then it's a regular bread. It's a regular pass. Habobi Kislin falls away. Again, it's similar to the lumnus that I said in Rashi. The Habobi Kislin falls away. It's not a pass. While Rav Huna is going to hold, no. Rav Huna holds that as long as you're not Koveya Suda, or the majority of people are not Koveya Suda on it, it's still because of its status. And the way it's made, it sounds like the way it's made, so then in such a case, it's still like cake. So the machlokis is, when you munch on Pasav of the Kisnin, not limasika, that's just there to make things sweeter, but you're munching on Pasav of the Kisnin as a pretzels by itself, are you munching on fortune cookies just like you're munching on the pretzels? So then in such a case, says Rav Nachman, then it's going to be transformed into Birchas Hamazon. What's the difference between this and bread? You're munching on the fortune cookies like it's bread. Forget about pretzels. You're munching on as if it's bread. That gets a Birchas Hamazon. And Rav Huna says no. According to the Rashba, Rav Huna says, as long as people are not Koveya Su'uda, then by definition, it's going to get a Ala Michla. Rabosai, this is Pshat in the Rashba, it's not only pshat. This is the svara of the machlokas between Rav Huna and the Rashba. Could anybody point out to me how the Rashba read the Gemara entirely differently than all of the Rishonim up until now? This is very important. If you can't make this point, if you didn't notice this point, then you might be very smart, you might be able to say chakiris, and you might be able to memorize a lot of halachas, but you'll never notice how to be able to read a Gemara well. Could anybody notice the difference between how the Rashba read the Gemara versus the other Rishonim? Yes, Ami?
We read Rav Nachman, it's Eide Kavna, Kol Shachet, we read that whole sentence, but Rashba...
Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, correct.
Rashba puts a period after Eide Kavna, and...
Very good. Correct. Says the Rashba like this, and this Eide you noticed as well. Nachon, that was what you were pointing out to me and said. He said what you said. So that, and that is the following. And that is that according to the Rashba, the Gemara reads as follows. It's a nafkamina of how, it's a nafkamina in halacha, but it's also a nafkamina in how you read Gemara. According to Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, and most Rishonim, the Gemara reads, Rav Huna achol tlesa rifta b'nei tlesa tlesa b'kav v'lo birech. And what does lo birech mean? So the different mefarshim of what lo birech means. We had how many different shitas? We had at least three different possibilities. at least three different possibilities of what that means, Lo Baruch. Amalei Rav Nachman, Edei Kafna. Rav Nachman says this is something that's filling. According to Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Nachman continues, and he says that since this is something that's Koveya Suda, then you need to make a Bracha Achrona. What's a Bracha Achrona? Two different positions, Me'in Shalosh or Berchas HaMazon. According to the Rashba, you put a big period. Amalei Rav Nachman Edei Kafna. Period. And Rav Huna comes back. And Rav Huna says, no, Rav Nachman. You say that Pasavo B'Kisnin, if it's not there L'Mesika, then automatically it's considered bread? I disagree. The only time Pasavo B'Kisnin becomes bread, Danny, stand up. The only time it's considered bread is if you're Koveya Suda. So there's a machlokis between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. If someone's not Koveya Suda, whether it gets Berachas HaMazon. But according to the Rashba, if you're Koveya Suda, then everybody, both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, hold that it's a Berachas HaMazon afterwards. Oh, it's a totally different approach than Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. So the question is, where you put the period? There's so many different dargas of learning where to put the period. It's learning how to put the period, just learning how to read Gemara straight. And then where you put the period is also a big question in Lamus. So there are two machlokios here. There's a machlokios in Svara, and there's a machlokios in Pshat, how you read the Gemara. Ad Kan, Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rashba. Now, Be'ezer Hashem, let's continue on according to the Rabbi Osein. What time is it?
So
105. So we cannot do that. Be'ezer Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue Rabbi Samuel Pirishu. Benny has the schus for the first of one question. And open up, you'll ask later? Okay. So then I'll give it to Adi, you with the next one. And the Rabbosai, open up your Mishnah Berurahs. We're going to do a discussion, halacha l'maisa. I have to tell you, I'm not going to tell you halacha l'maisa, l'maisa, l'maisa. But I will discuss halacha l'maisa. I'm going to leave open the two possibilities. And Mamish emerges from our sugya, Kuf Samaches, Mamish our halacha, well actually halacha ches, we're going to take a look at halacha ches, and we're going to see the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, and then what will come out, according to Maimar Mordechai, as far as eating cake during a meal, what is going to be the story, eating cake for dessert, what's going to be the story, we're going to make a bracha on it before now. Yes, Adi.
In Rashi, here on Friday, he seems to specifically say Kol Shachem Kovin Achilas Alokach. He doesn't say Suda. Is there anything to be idea from the fact that he said Achilas over Suda? Is that over the whole?
Diyukim, you could make. There's always room to make diyukim. What do you want to say, basically? You're Masufik, what to do with it? If you're Masufik, then I'm Masufik too. I don't have anything to say, but you could look around, see if someone says something. Rabbosai, the Mechaber, discusses.